Sabbath blessings, one and all, and welcome to our main church service. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, those joining us on WLMR radio. And praise God for his merciful kindness and for giving us the Word, Jesus Christ, to be our guide in this life. Our opening song is titled, Holy Thine. I would be, dear Savior, wholly thine. Teach me how, teach me how. I would do thy will, O Lord, not mine. Help me, help me now. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, O Lord, just now. What is worldly pleasure, wealth, or fame, without thee, I will leave them all for thy dear name, this my wealth shall be. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, O Lord, just now. As I cast earth's transient joys behind, come thou near, in thy presence all in all I find, 'tis my comfort here. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, this is my vow. Holy thine, holy thine, holy thine, O Lord, just now. And praise God that he gives us the grace and the strength and the divine power to become wholly his. And so it is indeed possible, dear ones, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and indeed be wholly his. I invite you to please bow your knees and your hearts for opening prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here in our midst, and we pray that thy divine presence will continue to dwell with us. Dear Savior, we thank you also for being here, and please continue to dispel darkness in our hearts and fill us with thy love, light, joy, and compassion. Dear Spirit, we thank you also for being here, and please continue to enlighten our minds, to reprove us and convict us and convert us of all of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. And please increase our comprehension that we might indeed behold wondrous things out of the word of truth today. Let us see the uplifted Savior as never before, and thus fall more in love with him from today's gathering. Father, we thank you that thy truth is filling this dark world with your glory, And soon as the waters cover the sea, so this earth will be filled with the plan of salvation, with the knowledge of truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And then he can come. Thank you for allowing each one of us to have a particular part to play in this great work of seeking to save the lost. Thank you for allowing us to have a part in the saving of souls for eternity. We pray, dear Father, that you will be with those who have requested prayer. Please hear and answer their petitions. We pray especially that you will continue to heal our dear sister Jean of her injury. Please also heal our dear brother Jean from his hip injury as well. Please be with Adele and help her to feel better and to get over the cold or affliction or flu-like symptoms that she has. Please also be with our dear brother Vic and help him to get well. And thank you so very much for being with every one of your children and indeed bringing them deliverance and relief, setting them free from all of their afflictions and maladies, whether physical or spiritual, when they look and trust in thee for help. Please be with us now and help us to indeed comprehend what we will be going over in dealing with the emotion of anger in our spiritual cleansing, that we may be more like you in character until we reach that point of becoming wholly thine. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So happy Sabbath, one and all. And this is a part 6 of our series, To Love the Lord Thy God, and we're dealing with spiritual wise. And last Sabbath we learned that the spiritual cleansing of our inner self, which includes our emotions, our conscience, as well as our motives and purposes for living, while this is taking place in us, God is not going to do all of this cleansing work in our soul by himself, and we just sit back and go along for the ride. But we ourselves has a very important work to do in harmony and in unison with God in this cleansing of our soul. And we discovered that after God has cleansed us from sin through faith in Jesus Christ, that we're not to allow sin to come back and reign within us after we've been cleansed, but we're to actively work in keeping all sin crucified in us and continually yielding ourselves to God's will so that we can indeed maintain our righteousness and holiness in Christ. So we're to keep our fleshly urges and motions of sin under the control of our mind so that they will not control us, but we can instead serve God in keeping his law. Now, as our spirit and soul is made up of our emotions, our conscience, our motives, and purposes for living, and we began last time investigating into our emotions, and we learned that these emotions include a whole variety of things, from calmness or its opposite emotion, anger, love or hate, passion or detachment, contentment or envy, trusting or jealous, kindness or hurtfulness, happiness or sadness, courage or timidity, being piteous or cruel, being humble or proud, bold or cautious, patient or impatient, relaxed or nervous. Also, the emotions can range from hopefulness to despairing, being respectful or disrespectful, and a whole lot of other emotions and feelings. And each one of us will have emotions that will range from the more noble ones, such as love, trust, kindness, or courage, to the least noble emotions, such as hatred, envy, hurtfulness, and pride. And whatever emotions we have will vary in strength and intensity. Now, each and every one of us must be in control over all of our emotions and not to allow any of these emotions to be in control of us. But if we instead allow our soul through its emotions to control us, then there will be no stability in our life. We will become a very easy prey for Lucifer to conquer us, and will soon make a shipwreck of our faith and be lost, because we will have no anchor that firmly connects us to the immovable rock Christ Jesus. So that's what we learned last time. But now, exactly how are we to go about controlling all of our emotions so that they can be cleansed? Well, let us now spend some time investigating into two specific emotions that are the most often a cause of a whole lot of problems in the life of God's followers. And thus, these emotions, more than any other, need to be controlled and cleansed. And these two most problematic emotions among God's followers are the emotions of anger as well as the emotion of love. And today we'll start with the emotion of anger. And for those that would like to follow along with our quotes that we will be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID44.htm. And thank you, dear sister, for putting the link in the room. So the emotion of anger, if you look at quote number one, anger is one of the most volatile of all our emotions. But is all anger wrong for the followers of God to indulge in? It's a good question, and we find the answers in Matthew 5:22. But I, Jesus, say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Matthew 3:5. And when he, or Jesus, had looked round about on them, or the Pharisees, with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. And then in Ephesians 4:26-27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So these verses show that not all anger is a sin to indulge in, because even Christ himself at times became angry. But some anger is indeed permitted for a Christian, and yet it should be controlled and not even then be allowed to be indulged in for very long, because the Bible also told us to not let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, don't harbor it for very long. But now, a great majority of the manifestation of this emotion of anger is mixed up with selfishness. And being mixed with selfishness, it then becomes a sin for any Christian to indulge in it. If you look at quote number two, this type of anger that centers in self is most commonly manifested through our words, and these words at times may also include cursing and swearing. And when this type of anger occurs, then our spirit is no longer in harmony with God. It's no longer aiding him in this cleansing work that's going on in us, but it's instead hindering the cleansing. So then with our soul now positioned against God, he's no longer enthroned in our soul, but has been dethroned. And without God's power and strength working in us, then this cleansing process immediately stops. It can't continue on because God is no longer in our hearts. Self has taken his place. And uncontrolled anger was the reason why God was dethroned. We're told in Job 15, verses 12 to 13. Why doth thine heart carry thee away, that thou turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of thy mouth? So uncontrolled anger caused God to leave the heart. Proverbs 14, verses 16 to 17. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. In Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. Job 5:2. For wrath killeth the foolish man. Matthew 5:34-7. Swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatever is more than these cometh of evil. And then in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 20, curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. So we're to control our temper and not allow it to have control of us, because as soon as anger takes hold within us, then God is shut out of our hearts and we become foolish and no longer wise. Now, if you look at quote number 3, what if any of us should commit sin by angrily speaking any unchristian words to another? What should we do? We first need to recognize what we have done. Then we need to humbly repent for speaking angry words. And while we're deciding what to do, let's not try to lessen our guilt by making it appear that we simply misspoke or made a mistake in what we said in order to avoid having to repent for it. And if we try to find some excuse to placate our sin, then we're actually choosing to live in sin instead of be freed from it through repentance. And we're thereby placing upon ourselves the additional sin of lying. So if we've made mistakes by giving in to anger, let us be very quick to recognize it and repent of it and not try to excuse it away or ignore it. We're told in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 6, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? And in Matthew 12, verses 33 to 7. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So if we find ourselves speaking angry words before we catch ourselves, then that is an indication that some part of our heart, some part of our character is corrupt, it's sinful, and it needs to be cleansed. So instead of stopping the cleansing process by trying to excuse our anger, trying to justify it when we know we've done wrong, instead of living in sin and stopping the cleansing process, let us recognize what we've done. Let us confess and forsake it so that the cleansing process can root this corruption out of our hearts, and we can now be that much more cleansed because of it. So while sin is going to cause us to lose salvation, yet the sin being exposed in us reveals what needs to be cleansed. And so it helps to aid us when we recognize what we've done wrong. It helps to aid us in this cleansing process. So let us not try to placate it, but let us recognize what it is, and then through God's help, put it away. So now, as we all desire to work in co-partnership with God in this cleansing of the improper form of this emotion of anger in our soul, then what are some practical ways in which we can exercise control over this particular emotion and not let it manifest itself wrongly through our words and actions? What are some practical things we can do in controlling this emotion of anger? If you look at quote number 4. We're told in Proverbs 16, verse 32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." So then we need to develop slowness to getting angry. So if we find ourselves very quick in temper, then we need to resist the quickness. And of course, we won't be able to do so without God's help, without his divine strength. We're told in James 1, verses 19 to 20. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." So again, we need to be more quick to hear than we are to speak. If we're slow to speak, then it will help us to be slow to being angry. And if we do become angry at what someone has said to us, then we need to recognize that this anger is not part of becoming righteous in God. It's a hindrance to becoming righteous. And then in Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. So another way to avoid anger is that when someone says something to you to hurt you or to try and make you angry, that instead of responding in anger, you bless them. Instead of saying, "How dare you say that about me?" say, "May God bless you with His Spirit and truth." And that will diffuse the entire situation. Amen. Pray for them as well. And amen. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So bless them which persecute you, and don't curse them. Don't respond to them as they have responded to you. So if we will just do these things and indeed control our emotion of anger and not be so quick to speak, then we can indeed become perfect, become righteous as God. We're told this in James 3 verse 2. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. So if we can just control what we say, then we will become perfect as God is perfect. And indeed, God will help us each step of the way. So in following these scripture admonitions, these practical ways to control our anger, then we will indeed gain control over this most volatile of emotions. And in doing so, in learning how to control our anger, we will also learn the process of how to control and rule over all other problem areas in our lives, and thus become perfect. You look at quote number 5. But if we will not follow these Bible counsels and will not control our anger, then it will definitely control our mind and body. And we will find ourselves speaking very hot and fiery words that will indeed cause all kinds of problems. And we will not be at peace. We're told in James 3, verses 3 to 6 and 8 through 13. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. But the tongue can no man tame, of course, without God's divine power. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So this shows us that we must actively work in harmony with God to control and cleanse our emotion of anger if we truly want to be saved. And in doing so, we will have also taken a gigantic step forward in this process of cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit in co-partnership with God. So if we can just control our anger and then control our words, then we can become perfect, righteous, just as God is. If you look at quote number 6, but for those who have problems with a hot temper and are quick to speak angry words, then how can you follow God's word by curbing or controlling and ruling over and cleansing this intense emotion, so that you can indeed accustom yourself to being slow to anger, slow to speak, and then only speaking words of blessing and not cursing to those who make you mad? How is it possible? In Luke 11, verses 9 to 13, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And your heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So ask God to give you the Holy Spirit, and then follow his guidance, and you will indeed be able to overcome the emotion of anger. We're told in Acts 5:32. The Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. In James 4, verses 6 to 8 and verse 10. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So then, when you first feel the emotion of anger rising up in your soul, recognize what's occurring, and do not allow it to control your mind and then your body. But instead, humbly and quickly send a prayer to God asking him to send you the Holy Spirit with the right amount of divine grace and strength that you need to resist this emotion. Then submit yourself to do the will of God and not your own desire. In other words, speak words of blessing and not cursing. Follow God's will. So submit yourselves to the will of God and not your own will, and actively resist this emotion of anger in faith by refusing to allow it to be manifested in your words or actions. So keep your mouth closed and don't speak at all until this emotion is no longer riled up in you. So then instead of drawing nigh to this emotion and letting it control you, use your mental willpower to draw nigh to God and let Him control you. Instead of allowing self to speak hot, fiery words that will be a curse to all who hear them, use your mental willpower to follow God's word of instruction and in faith remain quiet or speak proper words that will be a blessing. In doing these things, you will be actively working in co-partnership with God in the cleansing and purifying of your soul in this particular area. And together, you will gain a precious victory over your anger, thus cleansing your soul more in this process of sanctification. So, dear ones, these simple steps outlined in James 4 will enable you to overcome your anger and gain the victory through Christ, which strengthened you to do it. And what were these simple steps again that we read? The first was to recognize that you're getting angry. The second was to pray a humble and quick prayer to God for help. The third was submit yourself to follow God and obey His word. The fourth was to resist the inner urges towards allowing the anger to be manifested by using in faith God's divine strength and grace to overcome. So these simple four steps, recognize, pray, submit, resist, will indeed enable you to gain the victory over this emotion of improper anger. And what's even better is that these same four steps can also be used to gain the victory over every other problem area in your life. Recognize, pray, submit, resist. So by controlling your anger and what words you say, you can indeed bridle the whole body and be able to control and cleanse every other problem area in your life by working in co-partnership with God. So I believe that you can see that these four steps, this RPSR steps, are actually the key to cleansing your entire soul from all filthiness so that you can actually become purified and sanctified. You can become righteous and fit for the Holy Godhead to dwell in you as their holy temple. So recognize, pray, submit, resist is the key to overcoming. Now, next time we'll be investigating into the emotion of love, including affection and passion. And that particular emotion is very broad. It has a lot to it. But it is extremely important to understand. So we hope to see you next Sabbath. Our closing song is titled Whiter Than Snow. And through Christ, we can indeed become fully righteous. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, let nothing unholy remain. Apply thine own blood and extract every stain. To get this blessed cleansing, I all things forego. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, look down from thy throne in the skies and help me to make a complete sacrifice. I give up myself and whatever I know. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, for this I most humbly entreat. I wait, blessed Lord, at thy crucified feet. By faith for my cleansing I see thy blood flow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, thou seest I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought thee, thou never saidst no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. All things are possible to those who believe in Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our dear precious Father, we thank you for making our salvation, our cleansing possible through Jesus Christ, our Lord God and Savior. And dear Savior, thank you for the promise that if we come to thee in faith, pleading with thee to create in us a new heart, that you will indeed cleanse us, wash us, purge us, and purify us from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And we can be indeed whiter than snow, clothed in your precious robe of righteousness. And thank you, Savior, for making it a reality in us, one day at a time. I pray that you will help us to study these things for ourselves. And if we have a problem in the area of anger or any other area in our lives, help us to remember the four key steps in overcoming anything, which is recognize what's taking place, what's happening within us. Pray to God for help by sending to us the Holy Spirit, submitting ourselves to do your will and not the clamors of our own will, and then to resist in harmony with your will, using your strength to say no to sin, but yes to you. And thank you, dear Father, for working within us to do of your own good will and cleanse us from within, that we may act like you from without. Thank you for thy merciful kindness and tender love, and for accepting us in the Beloved, our Savior. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Sabbath blessings all. Brother Rob, I guess I'm not whiter than snow. I'm probably dirtier than dirt, because my temper does get the best of me, and it has been most of my life. So I ask that everyone pray for me, keep me in prayer, because if I see a man beating his wife, I can't just stand by and say nothing. If I see a man which just got arrested for tying his dog behind a van and dragging him down the street, I can't just sit there and say, sir, please don't do that. I also know that out here in Cocoa Beach that the people use dogs, which I love my dogs, they use dogs for fighting. And when they get hurt, they take them out to Cocoa Beach and put them on hooks and use them for shark bait. I can't walk out to those people and say, please don't put those dogs in the water. So obviously I'm doomed. I guess I am cursed and doomed for life. I can pray, but when I see a situation where somebody is abusing a child, I can't sit by and say, I didn't know. I have to jump in. Just like when my dogs got into a fight, I jumped in head first. There were penalties to pay, but unfortunately, I guess that's my black heart. I don't know what it is, but I just can't stand by and see things like that happen. So I ask for prayer. Thank you. And I also have a poem. I'll just have to pull it up. If you want to hear it, please ask me, and I have one for today. Amen. Thank you all.
Well, we will indeed be keeping you in prayer, dear sister, and please pray for us as well. And in the first part of the sermon, I went over the fact that there are times in which anger is not sin in a Christian. There is such a thing as righteous indignation, which Christ exhibited when he was outraged that people were desecrating the temple that was built to his Father's glory. So he wasn't angry in a selfish way, because he was defending the honor of God. So he wasn't defending himself, which would have been selfish anger. He was defending God. So there are times in which righteous indignation is permitted to be exhibited. But our anger needs to be under the control of God. And that needs to be at all times. So there is such a thing as righteous indignation. And your actions in defending helpless animals or helpless women or helpless children is noble. And I don't see that as selfish. But even that type of anger can go to extreme and no longer be under God's control. And so that's why we all have to be fully submitted to God.
Well, praise the Lord. I know God has been long-suffering with me, and if God has gray hair, he's got a full head for me, because I'm almost 60 years old, and I've been like this forever. So I'm trying, and I pray every day. So I hope that the Lord has some more time and patience for me. But anyhow, I have a little poem today, and it's for the Sabbath, and it says, "The seventh day of the week is God's great gift for us to seek. The Sabbath is for us to rest when Friday sun sets in the west. We keep the Sabbath of every week. We find God's best is very sweet. God gives the Sabbath from the start. He likes creation, every part. The seventh day, a gift for us. We gladly rest and stop each fuss. God set apart his holy day for us to learn and keep his way. The Sabbath is the sign for him that all his kids are home within. We're safe inside his garden sweet. The Sabbath day we love to keep. The fourth commandment tells us what is true. And Sabbath is like God's weekly glue. We learn his way each Sabbath day and cling to him and never stray. The joy we find when we obey is greater than the world's heyday. The Sabbath is a gift for man. Enjoy this rest from the Father's hand. Happy Sabbath."
Amen. That was a beautiful poem, dear sister, and that's one I haven't heard before, so thank you so much for sharing it. And again, we will indeed be keeping you in prayer, and please pray for us as well. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other comments or questions, any testimonies or other poems or hymns, songs that you'd like to sing? Please feel free.
Everyone, I too have to confess that I do have issues myself with this, and I am learning or trying to learn how to get a hold of this. As Susan has said, I also have had dealings with this for a long time. And my problem, being with dealing with this is that in learning to hold my tongue at times, I have also another problem, and that is a matter of not letting the things go. And, that is part of the difficulty, because if not letting the things go, holding it in for so long, and then when that person does that same thing to you to push your button to make you angry in the first place, and you don't say something to make yourself known of that is offending you, that eventually that blows up within you and blows up on that person and comes out even worse than it would have been in the first place. So that is something that I ask the Lord for prayer in my situation, in my case, is that I will not only be able to learn to control that anger, but to also to let things go and be able to, with wisdom and knowledge, to handle those situations.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Dear brethren, there was a scripture song, which is the whole chapter of James 4, which I wanted to use long time ago, but it was so long, I was always asking the Lord when I can be able to use it, because in the children's story, it was extremely long, and I couldn't be able to compromise the 30 minutes that we do have. So if you will permit me to be able to play James 4, I will be able to do so.
From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that roar in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Speak not evil. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to know ye that same today or tomorrow. We will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye that ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, to him it is sin. James
Amen. Praise the Lord. This particular chapter brings a lot of peace in my soul. Especially, I personally had a problem and have a problem still with anger when it comes to unjust, injustice, and circumstances that what helped me on that was one time I got so angry that literally I made myself sick. I started to regurgitate because of not manifesting the way I would have wanted. Anytime when you withhold, it makes more damage than good. You literally get sick. So one of the things that the Lord had done with me, and I'm so thankful, is that I remember Sister White said that before the time of a second coming, to be able to meditate upon Calvary, and I can really say it saved my soul. Because when I realized that the Lord has been called all kinds of names, he has been even accused of being Beelzebub, he took all of the abuse with grace, and I just felt that I could never do that. And just concentrating on that particular topic, it even came out to be a whole study. And I put it together, and it started to grow more and more where I can be able to use it to share with people that are in the Catholic Church. But I thank God for that, because it attacks your nerves in such a bad way. You don't know how much damage that can be able to do internalize, because you can't see your inside. But when the Lord brings these things them to you, the only one that can truly show you how anger is very evil, it's just looking at Calvary. Because truly, he has done nothing to deserve what it was that he was given. And whenever there is a thought, or whenever there is something that becomes so terrible in my spirit, I always sing. I have to. That's why I know a lot of scripture song, because that's the only thing that can be able to calm me down. But also the scripture song leads to be able to go into the spirit of prophecy. And I realize that when we don't manifest these spirit, we not only robbing ourselves if we do, but you will gain more knowledge of how the Lord wants us to be able to walk. I am a work in progress, because sometimes it becomes so much that sometimes I have to fast. And the reason why I recognize this now is that once the enemy had a certain stronghold of you when you was in the world, even if you're hiding under the Lord or you're doing everything not to fall into that temptation, it says that temptation comes when there is a lust that is from within. And I notice that sometimes the enemy knows that these things them are the weakness that you have. So he's the one that tempts you. He constantly will bring circumstances. He will constantly drive people to be able to be used as instrument that you can be able to fall into that temptation. And these words that were spoken at the beginning, where it says you have to first recognize it. And then when you recognize it, you really have to pray, because there is nothing in our flesh that we can be able to grasp to be able to help us, because it is in our flesh already. That's what the flesh uses to defend itself. So you cannot rely on yourself to be able to help. You truly have to pray. Because believe it or not, anger is a possession. It possesses you. After, when it comes in, you are blinded. You cannot see. You are not able to reason. No one can reason with anger. No matter how much it is that you try to speak to someone, from the time they already went into anger, they are not hearing nothing else. After anger comes violence. After violence comes, and you go to your own destruction. By the time you realize the damage that you have done, it is way too late. And I just wanted to share that.
Sabbath blessings once again, everybody. I'm getting back on here and would like to give a testimony of God's goodness and his grace and that has to do with my conditions as of that over the last couple of years with my health. I thank God for the resources that He has given me, especially one of the resources being is that I go to a counseling session once a week, and over the last couple of weeks, some weeks have been really intense, being that is bringing up issues from the past, and anytime doing that, it's opening up a can of worms, and I know we need to make the past, and need to move on and all that, but sometimes we need to reflect back on the past, I have found out, and I believe, to find out with what we are currently dealing with and how we can relate and what has brought it about. So these are things that I'm learning, but I thank God for the counseling session that He has given me, and with the people that have been involved with it, especially as of since this past year. Previously there was two young ladies that were counselors, and got to have wonderful sessions with them, and I've learned a lot to deal with handling with the emotions and stuff and dealing with the things that I was dealing with. And I have issues, people were to see with things I post on Facebook, I have things against with the radical Muslim agenda that's out there and different things like that. And so that's one of my soapboxes that I get on. But with all this, it's amazingly God has placed in with my counseling session, the current counselor is a Muslim man, young man, and I wanna give glory to God definitely with this, because his name is Camden, and God has brought us together and has placed us together and has done a wonderful work between us, and I have shared my faith with him and told him that I was aware of with the Muslim faith that I had done studying with that, with in regards to that, and the understanding there has been tremendous and has been such a blessing, and it has helped in so many different ways, not only for him, he has stated, but also for me also as well. So I just want to thank God definitely for he works in mysterious ways, and this has been a very mysterious ways. I am not against Muslims in general. I'm not against Muslims to say as, or any immigrant per se in that way. I believe that, we are a country that takes in immigrants, but being so that it should be, I believe it should been done, it should be done legally and rightly, and not just being opening up doors and let the borders, let people flow in and all that. So this is my belief. I think it should be done in order and in a right way. But again, I just want to thank God for the work that He's doing in my life, and definitely in general with this. It's amazing that a concept of hold your peace, let the Lord fight your battles, and refrain your tongue, even though it's not always easy to do. It's amazing that something that could be as simple as stop and take a breath, take a deep breath, and turn the other cheek, as they say. Like I said, it's not always easy to do, but it's a wonderful concept, and God knows. There's a family show that was out years ago called Father Knows Best, and yes, our Father does know best. God bless.
Amen, dear brother. God does know best. And amen, dear Sister Rose. We'll continue to hold you in prayer, and thank you for your prayers for us as well. And you're absolutely correct that anger can eat out any love that you have in your heart for another. And I think that's some of the wisdom that we read in the Bible passages, where we're not to allow the sun to go down on our anger. And, even if the situation is not remedied, don't allow that anger to continue in your heart, but give it to God. Let it go. Don't sleep on it. Because if you do, it will continue to eat away at your soul. And soon that anger will turn into hatred or bitterness or whatever other negative feeling can afflict you. And pretty soon you no longer want to have anything to do with that other individual. And letting things go can be very difficult because some people are just, they become fixated on the issue and they can't let it go. It's like they try to sleep and it's just running through their head. And they dwell on it. And that's where, as you mentioned, singing praises to God, changing the current of thought, dwelling upon Christ and his righteousness may be the only way to let it go. And what a great way to let it go. What better thing to think on than Jesus Christ and his love and compassion and mercy and truth. And so indeed, singing scripture songs may be one of the best ways of alleviating that tendency to fixate on an issue.
Well, I thank God and I praise God that that is not the issue in my heart, because when the Lord showed me, and the reason why I had gave that testimony is that when we do not understand, I call it ignorance. When you don't really truly understand who is truly responsible for the things that is happening in everybody else's life in the world, we have a tendency to look at people. But based on the study that I have done so far, especially with the Calvary, we forget that we have what you call an enemy of soul. And nobody seems to see that. But Calvary had made me see that. Because the Lord, by saying, I hate the sin, but I love the sinner. If we can be able to see who is truly responsible, but how do we take that responsibility? It's because we yield our members and become servant to obey. So I thank God that the Lord had given not only the Bible and the spirit of prophecy and ways where it could keep your spirit at bay. Singing the song allowed you to be able to let Christ draw near. But at the very moment, knowing that the flesh is not subject to the law and can never be. This is one of the reasons why staying and keeping your mind stayed on God is how we can be able to cry out to Christ and ask the Lord to help. But I thank God that my condition is not in the part of keeping any bitterness to the purpose of hatred. Because I really believe that whenever you are hurt about certain things, it's because you really did love. If you really didn't care, it wouldn't really hurt you. If you really didn't care about the circumstances or the people, it wouldn't bring hurt. Because when you don't care, it could pass you by. It doesn't matter. But when you love, this is what caused the hurt. Is to, how could that happen? But then this is what I started to be able to test. What was love? And this is what I am saying concerning how Christ came and said, this is love. I came to a world that hated me. I came to a world that in the very beginning, when a person gets up, they don't even say, thank you, Lord, for waking me up, or not even seeing all the wonders that the Lord had performed for each soul. And this is God now. And we deserve everything that comes to us, especially when we yield a member too. this is what made my heart be at peace. Because if my Savior can teach me how to be able to forgive. But remember, forgiveness is something that it comes with repentance, recognition. So by me recognizing that a lot of the things that is happening has a lot to do with the choices you made in life, when you make peace with God, then you make peace with man. So I just wanted to share that in these circumstances, it is this study that had made me realize that when you are treated, mistreated, lied to, whatever situation that it might be, looking towards Calvary make us understand the true love of God. I just wanted to share that.
Amen, dear sister. And thank you so much for that. And I think that's one reason why Christ is the very center of the Bible, his sacrifice. What took place on Calvary is indeed the whole reason that we have a second chance. So, amen. This particular train of thought that we've been discussing on brought up a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy to my mind, where she says that the great test for God's people in the last days just before Christ comes is to be able to draw warmth from the coldness of others. So when they treat us coldly, unrighteously, we need to draw warmth from that. So just the opposite of what they're trying to do to us, of course, the devil using them to do to us, we're just to respond in the opposite way. So she goes, we're to draw warmth from the coldness of others, courage from their cowardice, and loyalty from their treason. So in continuing with that train of thought, if they bring hatred to us, we're to respond with love. If they curse us, we're to respond with blessing them. So just the opposite. That's going to be our great test in these last days. So, dear ones, thank you for sharing. There was a praise the Lord that was put into the room a little bit earlier here. Our dear sister Yi wanted to share a testimony that there was one of her dear friends in New Jersey that was diagnosed with a melanoma, which is a skin cancer, generally around moles. Skin moles and lesions. Anyway, the individual was diagnosed with melanoma. And when she learned what her condition was, she refused chemotherapy and became very religious and also changed her diet and became a vegan. And the Lord answered her and other prayers for her. And this is like 15 months ago when she was diagnosed and so on. And just yesterday she had a PET scan to detect if there was any melanoma remaining, and it came back negative. There was no cancer at all. So she wanted to relay this great testimony and to praise the Lord for his goodness in hearing and answering prayers. And praise his holy name indeed. There's a question in the room that says, is keeping oneself away from any individual who has verbally hurt you or backbited against you, is that the same as being angry against them? And I can't say in every situation it's true, and I don't know that it would be wrong to avoid people like that. But that would be something, I guess that would depend on the situation, the type of backbiting, the type of verbal abuse. know, so each situation is a little different. But I would go to God and ask him how you should react to such a treatment and let God guide you. You know, in a lot of these situations and scenarios, it's kind of hard to find a clear course of action that everyone should follow because every situation is a little different. So what I would suggest is take it to God and let him lead and guide you into what he sees as best in handling that particular person or that particular situation. And I know in 1 John 3, I believe it is. It may be 1 John 2, but we'll go with 1 John 3. Towards the last part of the chapter, I'm paraphrasing here. It says, it's like 18 through 22. It says, if we have given our heart to God, then God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. So if we decide to take a particular course of action or to make a particular decision in this area and we've brought it to God, then God will either trouble our heart if we've made the wrong decision and we need to change, or he'll give us peace in our heart if we've made the right decision. So it becomes a personal issue that no one can really tell you what to do. They can counsel you on what to do, but God has the ultimate verification on what course of action is best. And that is by going to him in these issues where there is no clear, thus saith the Lord, how we should respond, and let him trouble our heart or give us peace that we've made the right decision. And I think that's found in 1 John 3, 18 to 22. Where it talks about if we've given our heart to God, he's greater than our heart. He knows all things. He'll trouble us if we've made the wrong decision, and he'll give us peace if we've made the right decision. So with the individuals that you were bringing up that have verbally hurt you or others, take it to God. I mean, make the decision based on the situation, what you think you should do, and then take it to God and let him trouble your heart or give you peace, and then you'll know exactly what course to take. I just looked it up. It is 1 John 3, and it's actually 19 through 21. So I had it in there, 18 to 22, but it's actually 19 to 21. So praise God indeed. Let me read it for you. It says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him, or God. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. So again, God is in control, and in going to him, he will indeed give you confirmation you did the right thing or trouble your heart that you need to change. And praise God for being so willing to help us even in the smallest things of life. Not just the big, but even in the smallest. Praise his holy name. Well, dear ones, is there any other thoughts, songs, testimonies, questions that you'd like to bring forth before we close? Please feel free.
Sabbath blessings once again. I was just doing a cross-reference to try to find some scripture that I was looking for in regards with anger, and ended up coming across Proverbs 29:11. Didn't see what this what translation this was, but from what it was stating, I don't have it in front of me right now, but I'm going to do it, say it out of remembrance. It was saying that a man that vents, finds vent for his anger is a fool, but he who finds calm is wise. And I thought that was very wise. Just wanted to share that.
I can't find the scripture where it talks about the one in the study. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can somebody just put it on the chat? Because I'm trying to find the section where I have the scripture songs and I can't find it. But meanwhile, I will sing James 4, 7 to 10. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Yeah, I believe what you were asking for is found in James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There's also a request for the hymn Amazing Grace. And those that would like to take a verse, please feel free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
His grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. Thou wert but first believed.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
When we have been dear 10,000 years bright shining as this. When we have been dear 10,000 years bright shining as this sun, we have no less days to sing God's praise. Can someone sing it? I can't sing it. Pardon me.
It's okay, dear sister. You sing fine. The angels of heaven is always listening and he help us along. When it comes to the Savior's ears, every voice that is uttered reach the heart of the Savior.
When we've been dear 10,000 years, bright shining as
the sun. We're no less days to sing God's praise than when we first be.
Amen. And thank you, dear ones, for joining in and singing. And I agree with Sister Rose. It doesn't matter what your voice may sound like to you or others. All that matters is that you're praising God with your heart. And the holy angels join in and sing perfectly to God's glory. So you've joined with them, and God is praised perfectly in song. So praise God indeed. Dear ones, may God bless. I pray that He will continue to lead and guide you ever closer to Him, and that you will come up that much higher in sanctification, in cleansing, and in co-partnership with God in this next coming week. Remember the four steps to overcoming RPSR. Recognize the sin. Pray for help. Submit yourselves, therefore, to do God's will, and then resist in His grace and strength, and you will indeed overcome. And I'd like to leave you now with this scripture song. This is Psalms 5, 1-3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee and will look up. Psalms 5, 1, 2, 3. So, dear ones, look up, and you will indeed find freedom and salvation.
I was looking for this scripture song, but I can't find it, so I just took what Elder Rob had in the study. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, let every man be swift to hear. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, let every man be swift to hear. And since this other part was put in there, I'm just going to sing that part from another scripture song. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, it cometh down from the Father of lights, where there is no variableness, neither shadow of turn.